Jeremiah 29. I'm going to read all this. We can start in verse 1, I guess. Jeremiah 29 says, "Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captive, and to the priests and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon." And so this is several names and listings here it's going to go through. He's sending this letter to the captives, though. The letter begins in verse 4. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon, build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughter to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished." I know we don't have a context, we haven't got to 29 yet, but it's not the message they've been hearing. The prophets, the preachers that are in captivity with them are in a nutshell telling them, don't settle in, we're going home. God's at peace with you, everything's fine, he's going to bring us right back. God tells Jeremiah, send him a letter and say, settle in. You're not going to fight me on this one. You're there until I bring you back. Start recognizing, repenting, and returning, and in my time I'll revive and restore. And he's going to let him know it's going to be 70 years, so don't fight this no more than the wave fights the sand. But it's not what they've been hearing. He's telling them, settle in. Verse 7, "Seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye caused to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." And let's pray. Lord, thank you for the day we've had in the house of God. Certainly some hard messages here in the book of Jeremiah for us to hear. And you know how this has been going for whatever balance we've been in a couple of months now. You're teaching me, showing me, growing me through the book of Jeremiah. And in turn, I'm trying to help others with the same truths. That with all of our soul and all of our might and all of our strength, all of our heart, we might be empty of self and full of Christ. That with everything we are, we might pursue God and seek God. That we'd settle for nothing less. That we'd not dictate or declare anything to you, but we'd sit humbly before you and receive the word that you have sent through the Jeremiahs of this life and hear and hearken unto the message that we might see what God can do to and through us as his people. Help us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. So we said, in leaving off kind of, that oftentimes we don't think like God thinks. That's all of us. He says in Jeremiah, Revelation, other places, we don't hear like he wants us to. We don't see like he wants us to. But we get that insight in Jeremiah 29 of an overview of what God is thinking. Because he declares it. He tells these guys that are in captivity, I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And he's letting them know, don't fall for all of the false hoods that are out there, for these false prophets that are speaking pleasantries to you, that are trying to make this seem like it's not such a big deal. Settle in. I'm going to do a work, but there's a purpose. And it's going to bring about an expected end. What I declare is what's going to happen. It's predictable. It'll be a productive work. It will perfect the people of God, leading to revival and restoration. And Jeremiah 29:11 is one of the most oft-quoted verses in all of the Bible. It's offered hope to believers for centuries that if you recognize, repent, and return, then God will revive and restore. That's a message of hope. It's a message that you would think they'd want to hear. Jeremiah has brought hard message after hard message after hard message, and it's taking its toll on Jeremiah. When he has to stand up and tell all of Judah, God doesn't accept this. God's not okay with this. We are a revolting and rebellious people, void of God. It's a very hard message, but in there is that message of hope. So there's the hard message, but it is always coupled with hope. Why Jeremiah described as a weeping prophet? Why the weeping if it's all going to work out? Why the suffering? Why the sorrow? Why is Jeremiah the lamenting prophet. I just wanted to look at that briefly this afternoon. And I got three or four things down here that we could look at. That if you are, yes, we can see ourselves in Judah trying to seek the Lord. If we were trying to live like a Jeremiah, standing for God and proclaiming hard truths, Jeremiah took quite a beating. And I see multiple reasons here why Jeremiah would be a weeping prophet, and we'll get to where I want to go. But we can't downplay at all the unjust persecution that Jeremiah faced. There's other reasons that I think bothered Jeremiah much more than being ridiculed and persecuted. But a high cost comes when you bring a hard message. If standing costs nothing, everybody would stand. But Jeremiah is standing. He was in trepidation about this from chapter 1. God, I'm just a young guy. God, do you understand what you're about to say to them? They don't want to hear this. And he begins to find out that there is a high cost for bringing a hard message. Without going to all of it, because I just want to give us these things, and then we'll maybe develop them if the Lord allows. After all that Jeremiah is doing in the years of preaching, Jeremiah's own family turns against him in the book of Jeremiah. In the book of Jeremiah, it crosses several years and several kings. His ministry, he is whipped. He's put into stocks. Later on, he's attacked by a mob. He finds himself threatened by the king. He's ridiculed, arrested, he's beaten. He is ultimately accused of treason. Because when Babylon comes, or they're going to come and take, this is getting ahead of the history, they're going to take Judah captive and just lay Jerusalem to the ground. They're saying, hey, we should go over to Egypt and make an alliance. We ought to go get some help and pay tribute and get some reinforcements. Jeremiah comes in and advises them, don't resist the invasion. Yield yourselves. Go out and offer yourselves as their slave. It's going to happen. They accuse Jeremiah of treason. Later in the book, they say this, it's scripture, this verse about Jeremiah's message. This man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. Jeremiah is telling him, how many times have we already read, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, the Lord God hath said, and their response is, this man seeks not the welfare of the people, but the hurt. In that setting, they throw him into jail, and that wasn't good enough, so they put him down into a deep, empty well, if you will, but the bottom of it is full of mire, so he sinks up in the mire. Unjust persecution. He's going to live through the siege of Jerusalem just like everybody else. He's there when the people are taken captive, and Jeremiah gets to suffer right alongside the rest of Judah. So why the lamenting prophet? Perhaps the unjust persecution that he faces. Perhaps part of it was the unbearable isolation that he faced. There's a high cost to bringing a hard message. There is a loneliness to bringing a hard message. Jeremiah 16, it says this, the word of the Lord came also unto me, saying, thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place. He has unjust persecution, but there's almost unbearable isolation or loneliness for Jeremiah. There was going to be no family support. He was never going to have the ear of his wife. He's never going to have the heart of his children. You go through his life, he was never going to have the joy of one convert. And we read stories and we think about how sad it is that Noah builds an ark and the whole world says no, but the whole world didn't say no. At least 8 got on the boat. Jeremiah had no one. Elijah's in a cave and he gets depressed and says, I only remain. And God comes and says, oh no, there's several thousand others who haven't bowed the knee. Oh, they're spread out. You can't see each other and hear each other in fellowship and have all that connection, but they're there. Jeremiah finds himself with no one. Persecution, isolation. He's going to turn the corner in his thinking eventually. And he gets into the book of Lamentation that maybe we'll start incorporating more and more with Jeremiah. It's all in the same timeline. And by the time he gets to Lamentations chapter 3, he says, I have had unbearable isolation. I have had no one, but I have God. And great is thy faithfulness. There's only ever been one that knows true isolation, and that's Christ. For Jeremiah had no family, no friends, no converts, but he had God. The Lord Jesus got to hang on a cross and even had to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So the lamenting prophet, unjust persecution, unbearable isolation. Part of it was the ungodly rejection, the refusal of Judah to hear the word. There is some hope for Jeremiah if at least some of the people are receiving and responding. But when Jeremiah would preach, if you want to call it that, proclaim truth, usually starting and ending with, "Thus saith the Lord," this is what they said to Jeremiah in a nutshell. "Nice sermon, Jeremiah. We don't think that's of God. We don't believe God has spoken." In chapter 5, they said, "They have belied the Lord and said, it is not he." Jeremiah gets done saying, "Thus saith the Lord." He finishes the crescendo of a sermon, which wasn't that great as far as bombastic. Their response is, "Nice, that's not God." They equated everything Jeremiah said with, "That's your opinion." Or, "That's another story time with another prophet." Chapter 5, they belied the Lord, said, "It is not he." Chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it." Jeremiah 7:27, "Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee." Well, that's encouraging. The Lord says, "Hey, you're going to do this, but no one's going to listen." Chapter 13, "This evil people which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart and walk after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle which is good for nothing." So many of you fellows were considering a girdle. They're good for nothing. And I don't know what that is, but it's in the Bible. So I may know what it is, but it's the afternoon. Chapter 17, verse 23 says, "They obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction." Jeremiah 19:15, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks, that they might not hear my words." This is all adding up on Jeremiah, the unjust persecution, the unbearable isolation, the ungodly rejection of God's word. For Judah, it was like Ecclesiastes, because the judgment has been delayed, the warning is going to be ignored. Ultimately, one of the things that takes its toll on Jeremiah is the unnecessary bondage. He warned them what would happen. He gets to live to see it happen, and it didn't have to be. The unjust persecution, the unbearable isolation, the ungodly rejection, the unnecessary bondage. If you go to Lamentations chapter 1, right after the book of Jeremiah, the Lamentations of Jeremiah. There is a phrase in here that just grieves me when I read it, because it shows us a little insight into what was grieving and bothering Jeremiah so much. Yeah, the persecution, the loneliness, the rejection of God's word, but the bondage that comes, the victory that the enemy scores, which didn't have to be. Lamentations 1, he says, "How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people?" The captivity has happened. The people are in bondage. The city is empty except for the few that are left behind. "How is she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations and princess among the provinces, how has she become tributary? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she hath none to comfort her." I mean, God told them that in chapter 2 of Jeremiah. If you're going to call for help in the day of trouble, why don't you go call these lovers? None of them could help her. "All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction and because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest." Well, he just told him in chapter 6, "Stand and walk in the old paths and ye shall find rest." No, she finds no rest. "All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. The ways of Zion do mourn because none come to the solemn feast. All her gates are desolate, her priests sigh, her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Her adversaries are the chief, her enemies prosper, for the Lord hath afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children are gone into captivity before the enemy. And from the daughter of Zion all her beauty is departed. Her princes are become like harts that find no pasture, and they are gone without strength before the pursuer. Jerusalem remembered in the days of her affliction, of her miseries, all her pleasant things that she had in the days of old. When her people fell into the hand of the enemy and none did help her, the adversary saw her and did mock at her Sabbaths. Jerusalem hath grievously sinned. Therefore she is removed. All that honored her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sigheth and turneth backward. Her filthiness is in her skirts. She remembereth not her last end. Therefore she came down wonderfully. And that doesn't mean something good happened. Terrible, wonderful, or full of wonder. It's amazing how far she fell. Therefore she came down wonderfully. She had no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction. For the enemy hath magnified himself. The adversary hath spread out his hand upon all her pleasant things. For she hath seen that the heathen entered into her sanctuary, whom thou didst command that they should not enter into thy congregation. All her people sigh. I mean, listen to the people's response to this great bondage. The people that are left behind in the city that is ravaged. All the people sigh. They seek bread. What happened to seeking the Lord? They have given their pleasant things for meat to relieve the soul. See, O Lord, and consider, for I am become vile. Here's Jeremiah's question to everybody just going to and fro in Jerusalem as if nothing has happened and life just goes on. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. From above he has sent fire into my bones, and it prevaileth against them. He has spread a net for my feet. He hath turned me back. He hath made me desolate and faint all the day. The yoke of my transgressions is bound by his hand. They are wreathed and come up upon my neck. He hath made my strength to fall. The Lord hath delivered me into their hands, from whom I am not able to rise up. The Lord hath trodden underfoot all my mighty men in the midst of me. He hath called an assembly against me to crush my young men. The Lord hath trodden the virgin, the daughter of Judah, as in a winepress. Here's Jeremiah, why the weeping prophet? For these things I weep. Mine eye runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate, because the enemy prevailed. Yes, the persecution, the isolation, the rejection of the message, the bondage that comes. And Jeremiah said, here it is in a nutshell. Why am I the weeping prophet? Because the enemy won. The enemy prevailed. What sadness and sorrow when the enemy prevails. To prevail means to overcome. Their enemy overcame them. To prevail means to gain a victory or superiority. The enemy prevailed. Prevail means to gain the advantage, to be in force, to have an effect, a power, or an influence. Jeremiah says, you know what's tearing me up? The enemy prevailed. The enemy has gotten in and gained a victory where he never should have been given a foothold. He has been given effect and influence over the sheep. In Psalm 23, we looked at that Wednesday night, I think it was. Part of that is he prepareth a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. In Psalm 23, the enemy has to sit and watch the sheep eat. There's nothing they can do about it because the table was prepared by the shepherd. There is no threat. There is no danger. There is no ability of the enemy to harm. And now the sheep have strayed so far from the shepherd, the enemy has prevailed. So what are you saying? The sheep is no match for the predator. A sheep has hope only by staying close to the shepherd. By walking close to the shepherd, by listening to the shepherd, being led by the shepherd, being made to lie down by the shepherd. The sheep has no ability to fight off a predator. And Jeremiah said, what is causing my eyes to run down as a fountain of tears? The enemy has prevailed. Jeremiah is grieved because the enemy prevailed. The enemy has conquered. The enemy is having an effect. It's having an influence. And he's grieved because it didn't have to be. And he's grieved because as he is not in that original, he is sending letters down in Jeremiah. He is being able to see the destruction in Lamentations 1 at least. He can see all of the destruction. And he says, I'm grieved because the enemy prevailed. I'm grieved because it doesn't have to be. And I'm grieved because the people are not grieved. He said, they have just gone back to accepting that this is a way of life. Let's just make the best of it. Let's just go on with life, trying to scratch out some sort of meager survival, find some bread to get through another day. And he says, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Jeremiah is asking the people that remain, you don't see this? You don't hear this? Or you don't care? Our buildings are leveled. Rubble is filling our streets. The house of worship has been ransacked. Our family and our friends are being carried away by the enemy. And life goes on as normal. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Jeremiah learned to rejoice in what God rejoices in and to weep over what God weeps over. The Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 19, it says, when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, encompass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. In Matthew 23, the Lord Jesus is looking over Jerusalem. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. So what he's saying, you better be prepared if you're going to try to take a stand like Jeremiah. You're going to try to present hard truths that are coupled with hope, that there will be persecution, there will be isolation, there will be rejection, there will be bondage. And Jeremiah learned to grieve over what God grieves over. He said, I'm grieved because the enemy has prevailed. I'm grieved because this didn't have to be. And I'm grieved because those who are affected by it can't even see it. If you go to Jeremiah chapter 20, I know we're back and forth today in Jeremiah. We're going to work our way through systematically if that's what the Lord does. In Jeremiah 20 is one of the seasons of struggle that Jeremiah is in, from all the persecution, the isolation, the rejection, the bondage that is to come. And you'll never convince me that Jeremiah did not battle deep discouragement and often despair. What I do see in the book of Jeremiah, for the most part, is that he dealt with persecution, isolation, rejection, and the coming bondage internally. Externally, Jeremiah was seen as the firm, resolved, unyielding prophet. But here's a little insight into Jeremiah in chapter 20. I'll jump down to verse number 7. Jeremiah says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily, everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak in his name, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Jeremiah went through seasons because of these reasons, rejection, persecution, isolation, impending bondage, where he would go to the Lord and said, honestly, Lord, I'm contemplating and giving this all up. Or at best, I'm contemplating changing the message because all it does is get me more grief. I'm just trying to help those Jeremiahs. You're trying to help your friends. You're trying to help your family. You're trying to stand true for the word of God. It comes with persecution. It comes with isolation. It comes with rejection. Not you, they rejecting the Lord. It comes with bondage that you see it happen, and it doesn't have to be. And Jeremiah went through seasons where he said, I am contemplating giving this up. I'm contemplating changing the message and not being faithful to what I have been told to do. And then Jeremiah says, but there was something shut up in my bones as a fire. And it was the word of God. Jeremiah said, I had to preach on. That yes, I went through seasons where I said, this isn't worth it. Nobody wants to hear this. This has been unprofitable. Lord, you have deceived me on this. And Jeremiah said, so I sat down and said, I will speak no more in his name. And then Jeremiah began to evaluate and to meditate, if you will, before the Lord, pray before the Lord, to remember what this was and who this was all about. And Jeremiah said, I had to preach on, because my faithfulness is not just to the flock of God. My faithfulness is to the Word of God. And my faithfulness will be to the God of the Word. There were way too many false preachers running around in Jeremiah's day that if Jeremiah's voice was silenced, who were the sheep to listen to? And he warns them, don't listen to these prophets and these preachers and these other guys that aren't sent by God. Why? Because at best, they are just sheep like you are sheep. And sheep get in trouble following other sheep. And he tells them the same thing. Don't get off on this. Don't follow the sheep. Follow the shepherd. And Jeremiah said, yeah, it's weary to keep preaching a hard message. That you get wounded in the service for God. But Jeremiah understood it is far more wearisome and it is far more wounding to walk away from it. You ask anybody that's lived that life, that is in the service of God and has experienced the rejection and the isolation and the persecution and the frustration of seeing people in bondage, and it doesn't have to be, and they say like Jeremiah, this isn't worth it, and God has deceived me, and nobody wants to hear it, so I'm not going to preach anymore, and I know what it is to be weary, and I know what it is to be wounded, and let them walk away, they will all say, it was far more wearisome out there. It was far more wounding out there than it was just staying faithful to God. So Jeremiah, people may not listen to the message. Even God's people. To the Jeremiahs, they may stop their ears and close their eyes. But we keep speaking, thus saith the Lord. We continue to urge a right internal attitude and a right external action, whether anyone listens to it or everybody leaves it. So what are you saying? There are some reasons I see in Jeremiah's heart of why he is grieved, because the enemy has prevailed. He went through seasons where he said, that's about enough. But then in a nutshell, I'd say it this way, let your faithfulness be to the Lord. And let your faithfulness be to the Word of the Lord. And let your fruitfulness be of and by and for the Lord's glory. Now Jeremiah said, I couldn't throw in the towel. I couldn't walk away from this, not because it's going to get any easier, but because this is of God, and I know His Word. His Word's in me. It is a fire, and I am weary with forbearing. That I tried, and it kept pushing and pressuring and building, and I can do nothing but stay faithful to the Lord and His Word. Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. We look at the Judah, and then every so often I throw in Jeremiah's point of view, where we learn to rejoice over what God rejoices in, we learn to grieve over what God grieves in, and as things unfold and fall apart, we don't just go on like as if, oh, this is just the way life is going to be. But we do business with the Lord. And the answer is never, well, I just quit. I just don't share truth anymore. I'm just going to be silent because all they do is put me in stocks and throw eggs at me. And they were pretty mean to Jeremiah. You're not as mean as they're going to get. They're going to kill him eventually. Not the Assyrians, not the Babylonians. The Jews are going to kill Jeremiah eventually. Just saying, let your faithfulness be not to the results. Your faithfulness not to be to perceived outcomes. Your faithfulness not just to be to family and friends. But your faithfulness be to the Lord. And your faithfulness be to His Word. And any fruitfulness be because of Him and by Him and for Him. That we might be found faithful. Let's have a word of prayer.